Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Good Friday and also the start of Passover tonight. It is April the 6th, 2012. Hope you are having a great day and looking forward to a special Easter weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon right here on The Voice, KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, simulcasting on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas, serving all of Cochise County and southeastern Arizona. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and the program is available anytime. We usually post the day's show by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. Today's Friday Focus interview is with Richard Miranda. He is the acting city manager for the city of Tucson. Joining me to question the city manager, Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. The Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Jimmy Bogle, good to see you. Richard Miranda, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how the search is going for the city manager. It's a job that I think it's safe in saying that you would like to have. You'd like that acting dropped and become the permanent city manager. Where are we in the process?
Bill, a couple of weeks ago, the mayor and council voted that they were going to do a national search for the position, and that search has been going on through a consultant. The application process ends on April 13th, and I saw that they've agendized a review of that process for the last week in April, and they're going to make a decision how to go forward on that one.
I hear a lot of good. I mean, a lot of people are saying you're doing a great job, and I mean, how do you think it's going? You getting along with as many folks as possible at City Hall?
Well, my administration took over in the middle of September, and there were some goals set that we wanted to accomplish during my interim tenure. I think we've done a good job respective to achieving those goals, and that main mission was to instill trust and confidence in the management of the city government. We've made some turnarounds and some issues, and I think that that turnaround has been observable in partnership with the community and the mayor and council. So I think you're going to see more of that, the team that we put together is doing real good.
Here's Jimmy Bogle, The Weekly.
We had a story Jim Ninsel did this week on potholes, and I'm going to dive right in, no pun intended, to the potholes, some of which are so big that you can dive right in, as a matter of fact. Obviously, this is an issue. You know, there's a lot of issues in the community, but this is one issue that people see every day as they're driving to work or wherever they're going. And, you know, the number of streets that are actually in really good shape is pretty low, and the number of streets that aren't in good shape is actually pretty high. And of course, you know, if potholes get to a certain point, they become unrepairable and you're looking at redoing the whole street and the costs go up. What is the city doing right now with the still not great but slightly improving budget situation to fix Tucson streets?
Well, what we discovered over the last couple of months is that a lot of the street maintenance money and the people who are working on street maintenance had been diluted. So we hired some people that have a good understanding of the issue. I have Tony Pius, who I brought back as administrator for the transportation department, and we also hired Lucy Amparano, who was in streets a long time ago, and they put together a strategic plan that will deal with the pothole issue, and I understand because I hear it every day. I hear it while I'm out in the community, and even my son came into me a couple of days ago and said, he hit a big pothole. So,
time for the alignment, right? Oh, boy.
So the understanding that we need to put together a short-term resolution to deal with that. And we've put some money aside this year to start, and we started this week dealing with it. We also put some money aside this week to start cleaning up the medians, because the appearance of the city is important to us. But there needs to be a long-term strategy to deal with what you talked about, because the potholes, they're temporary. The issue has come to the point now where we need to do some remilling and repaving. So we've met in the last week or so at the direction of the mayor and council to put some options together so we can deal with it on the long term. I've also had some communication with the county administrator, Mr. Huckleberry, so that maybe we can do something jointly and talk about some initiatives that way. And my team and his team is going to meet together next week so that we can maybe come up with some initiatives that provide some efficiencies in what we're doing.
I have to bring up the Steve Kosachik proposal, basically to try to find a way to divert about 20% of the RTA funds to fixing potholes. I know that you work at the pleasure of the city council, but in terms of that and other possible solutions, what ideas are floating around out there to find the money to help dive into this problem?
Well, the issue with the RTA was dealt with the RTA board last week. The legal representative for the RTA communicated to the board that there were issues that had been brought forward by the city of Tucson, and he presented what their options were to deal with that. And it seemed pretty stern and strict as to us being able to go back and reverse the decisions of the voters, though there are processes to do that. But my feeling from the RTA board was that they weren't going to head in that direction, respective to presenting that to the Board of Supervisors and going to a referendum for a vote of the voters to change those processes. So maybe the door is a little bit open there, but I think the door was kind of shut by the RTA board respective to doing that. So the other options are, is how do we fund this long-term solution? Bonding is something that we've been talking about, and I've been asked to research the process for that. We've had our initial meeting yesterday to talk about what needs to be done if we were to present that to mayor and council. So the options are limited, because the amount of money that we're going to need to do that is maybe $100 to $200 million, because there are a lot of streets in disrepair. So the initiative has to be thought out well. It has to have stakeholder input before I bring it to mayor and council, so that they have a good vetting of the options. But there are no easy solutions.
12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday. Focus 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. Dave wants to talk, has a comment about potholes for Richard Miranda. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, it's not this. City gets a metropolitan area problem, and I see all the new development going in and all the money they're spending on new roads, new development, and they just came out the news last week. They're going to plan to spend like $400 million on new roads, because they're scraping all our desert, turning it into new housing developments, and they're spending all the money on new roads, and it's a double whammy that takes away the money for maintaining existing roads, and we push for more expansion. We build all these new roads, and they, in turn, have to be maintained. And this really just drains the budget completely.
Okay. Thanks, Dave, for your comment.
Well, a lot of the new roads that are being built are being built with RTA funds, and those are voter-approved projects. The other source of income is from the state, the HERF funds. The HERF funds were swept by the state in the last couple of years, and we were using those monies to both build and repair and maintain the streets, and those have dwindled. And so I think some advocacy needs to be included from the state to deal with some of the local problems.
Speaking of streets, Congress Street, people along their businesses and people who commute downtown are going to be, I guess dreading the next few weeks, certainly, beginning Tuesday with the closure of Congress Street for the construction of the streetcar line construction. What can you tell us about this? What should we know?
Well, we have been planning this project for a number of years, and we've gone out for the last couple of years and try and communicate and provide some amplification to the issue that this project is going to start. And I think, my feeling walking around the community and talking to people, that there is somewhat of a surprise that we're actually going to be doing the project and it's getting done. So
the talk will turn into literally action.
I go to breakfast and go, you're really going to start. Yeah, we're really going to start it. So this project is big. It's gonna go through downtown, through 4th Avenue, U of A, and there's going to be some traffic problems. There's going to be issues. And we've sat, we've talked about it, there just isn't a pretty resolution to this. We've gone out with the RTA and the Main Street people, and door-to-door talking to the business people over the last couple of years and trying to get the resolutions put in place. But again, there's going to be traffic delays. We're going to have signage. We're going to have police officers out on Tuesday morning to direct traffic, and we're hoping that the inconvenience lasts on Congress for about 8 weeks, and we're going to accelerate the construction there. We've had community forums, we've had community meetings, and some of the issues that have come up that we've changed the construction from nighttime to daytime, but it's because of those feedback that we got from those meetings that we shifted things around. And I can say this, as we get into the project, there are going to be other issues that come up that are unforeseen, and we're going to have to deal with them through communication processes, and I was talking to the managers this morning about it, that we're going to have to be on our toes and have our people readily available to go out and dialogue with the community when these problems come up. So, like I said before, the good news is we're starting construction. The bad news is that there's going to be traffic problems. There's going to be traffic delays. I had the opportunity to go up to Portland, and one of the first things I noticed was the backup in traffic where they're doing their project. They're a few months ahead of us.
Are they adding on to their project?
They're adding on to their project. They have the same manufacturer of the streetcar we do, which is Oregon Ironworks. Their order is ahead of ours, and so they're going through some of the issues and problems and being kind of a beta test facility for us with our streetcar. So we've seen the problems, we've seen the obstacles, and the best we can do is to go out and communicate, dialogue, over-communicate what the problems are going to be so that we can work through them together as a community.
Richard Miranda is with us. Jimmy Bogle is here from the Tucson Weekly. We're going to take our break right here, but we will be taking your calls at 790-2040. But right now, let's hear from the fine lineup of people who support the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus, and today's Friday Focus interview is with Richard Miranda, the city manager in the city of Tucson. Jimmy Bogle is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. We're talking about potholes, the Congress Street closure. Jimmy, you want to pick up on the modern streetcar?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I know that the funding for the streetcar is pretty tight. There's not a lot of margin for error. I've heard from some people there's no margin for error, as a matter of fact, between the funding from the city and the funding from the RTA. What are you doing as a city manager to make sure that should something unforeseen come up that costs a little bit of extra money, that this project can go forward and, it, no pun intended, is not stopped in its tracks?
Well, the funding for the streetcar comes from the RTA and through federal sources. We've got a Tiger grant that supplemented that. There are gaps in the budget as we speak, and that has been broadcast. We have built a streetcar during an environment where construction costs are very favorable, and we were getting our bids in that are actually closing that gap significantly. We have contingencies within the budget that will deal with some of the construction issues that we anticipate. However, the bigger issue for us is if when this project is completed and that gap is there, how we're going to pay for it. We do have money that was set aside in the federal budget that we can tap on. We've drawn about $6 million from that. But also within the general fund budget, because we're going to have to run this streetcar after it's completed, we're putting together a strategy where we have some money that we saved from bonding and debt service that will apply to that. There are some other monies that we moved from other projects. For example, the Mountain Street project had about $3 million left over that we've put in to the streetcar as a contingency. So I believe that the construction issue is one that we've planned for, and there are monies set aside so that the project doesn't get stopped in its tracks. Not saying that there's something big might not happen and that we have to deal with it, but the bigger issue is what do we do when it's completed, and how do we keep the streetcar running once we're done?
12:23 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to Charles now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles, go ahead. You're with Richard Miranda.
Hi, Chief Miranda. A question for you. You were just talking about keeping the streetcar running, and many times the public transportation projects ended not being funded by the fares collected from the people that ride them. What could be done to make sure that 100% of the money from the ridership goes to fund the operation of such a streetcar, and zero of it comes from the taxpayer who may object to its very existence? And I'll take my answer on here.
Thank you, Charles.
You know, you could. There's a way to address the pothole problem. If you just call them medical marijuana holes, you'd probably get all the funding you wanted.
Okay, thank you, Charles.
Well, like all public transportation, the fare box recovery is not going to be sufficient for the operation and maintenance of the service. So we are have some money set aside through the RTA that will supplement the operation and management of the system for a couple of years, but we're going to have to develop some strategies after that to take care of that. And I can say I can't guarantee that taxpayer money or general fund money won't be used, because that issue is so far out that to commit to that is something that I don't want to do, because there are other options that we can include to take a look at the operation and maintenance of the streetcar. But it is public transportation, and like with our bus services, fare box does not cover all the operation and maintenance of that operation.
Charles addressed you as Chief Miranda. Of course, for those that are new to the community, you were the police chief of the city of Tucson. How many years were you the police chief?
I spent about 34 years with TPD, and I did about 10 years as the chief.
Okay. Well, here's a caller who did not want to go on the air, but this is a public safety question for the acting city manager, Richard Miranda. What is the staffing situation at TPD right now and Tucson Fire, and are they fully staffed, or are they doing recruiting?
Well, the Tucson Fire Department, the Tucson Police Department are not fully staffed. We have applied and received two federal grants to supplement the staffing for the Tucson Police Department, and we've had a class in process, and then we just hired another class Friday that will supplement the TPD staffing. At one time, TPD had 1,113 officers. They're way below that, and the police chief has put together some planning processes and strategies to put officers on the street so that we can respond to those priority one emergency service calls. And the issue that he's facing is that the lower level calls that we go to, that most people call the police for, the response times is taking a hit. With TFD, we also have a federal grant in process that will hire 33 firefighters. We have an application process going on as we speak, and we hope to do a class in the summertime for the fire department.
Jimmy Bogle, kind of a quick one for you here, about 3 minutes to go.
It wouldn't be an interview with a city official if we didn't ask about Rio Nuevo, because where's the fun without that? But what's the update in, you know, the mediation and the goings on? I know that a bill that would have you know, changed some things was vetoed by the governor. What's the status? What's up?
We've been in a mediation with the Rio Nuevo board since January 6th of this year, trying to go through the issues. During that time, there has been a lawsuit filed against the city by the Rio Nuevo board that we've had to deal with. But irrespective of those issues that are legal in nature, the mediation process has, I think, been productive. We have come to an agreement that we're going to work on some issues together. One is the city is going to provide funding up to $1 million to replace the bleachers that were in the arena that I think are of public safety issue. And the Rio Nuevo board, as I understand yesterday, discussed putting $1 million in to deal with the restrooms in the arena. And that those issues came about through the mediation process, and hopefully we'll come into an agreement of a memo of understanding. There are still other issues that we were talking about in the mediation, but being at the table with the board and having elected officials there talking across the table, I think, has been productive, and I would hope that it continues. irrespective of the lawsuit.
Richard Miranda, thank you very much for being our Friday Focus interview. I guess the Congress Street detour signs, you got those already ready to go?
They're out there. If you go out right now, there's already the warning signs are out on 22nd on Broadway.
Prepared for Tuesday, right?
Tuesday. If you're coming downtown, use St. Mary's, 22nd, 5th Street, because Broadway and Congress is going to be tied up. But we, this is a project that people voted on a long time ago, and it's going to happen.
We will get through it. Richard Miranda, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Coming up next, the Friday Roundtable on The Buckmaster Show. Jimmy Bogle stays with us in studio, and Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star is waiting in the wings. Stay with us on the Friday edition of The Buckmaster Show. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Officials say they have reports of three people injured but no deaths after a Navy jet crashed into a Virginia Beach apartment complex today, setting several of the buildings on fire. A ferry captain who came to the rescue when a plane landed in the Hudson River in 2009 has done it again. He rescued three members of a tugboat crew today near New York's Liberty Island. Attorneys for a soldier accused of planning to bomb a restaurant filled with Fort Hood troops want his confession tossed out. Police say they've now found the gun they believe was used in the deadly shooting spree at a California college. Oakland police have been combing waterways and trash bins since Monday when a gunman opened fire at Oikos University in Oakland. More details at srnnews.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, Good Friday, as we all get ready for Easter and for our Jewish friends, the beginning of the Passover season tonight. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, the Friday Reporters Roundtable, support coming from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. It is time for the Roundtable. Joining me, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, and Jimmy Bogle from the Tucson Weekly. Not just from the Tucson Weekly, he is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Jimmy stays over from our interview with Richard Miranda.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard Miranda's got his hands full coming up on Tuesday.
He totally does.
Like I said, get those detour signs ready. He says, well, we're ready.
And I'll give him credit. I live just off of 22nd Street, and they've been up and they're out there. But, you know, and I actually think the city has done a pretty good job in terms of getting the word out about the fact that the streetcar enclosures are coming. There are some other things they didn't get the word out as well about. When in terms of this, they did a pretty good job. Still, that doesn't mean that if you're a business downtown or along the route that's maybe struggling and barely making ends meet, that this couldn't be a very significant thing for them. But that's what happens when you have a big construction project of any kind.
Yeah, they were talking about 5 weeks. I hope that's that seems optimistic.
I think
but
it was
I don't
8
know
weeks is what he said.
Oh, is that what
yeah.
he said? 8?
But
okay.
That's still a really short amount of time.
I mean, I don't know the construction business. Maybe they can do it in 8 weeks.
I certainly hope so for the sake of the people who do business down there, would like to do business down there. And like Jimmy was saying, the city has been pretty proactive in terms of getting signs up and that sort of thing. But that doesn't – when it comes down to it and people on Tuesday are expecting to drive down Congress and –
or to head for the freeway.
Right, and everything's going to be different. It's just going to be a nightmare.
And this is going to be a rolling nightmare as well because it's – I believe he said 8 weeks for Congress Street. Well, there's a bunch of construction left to do on 4th Avenue. Then there's going to be the part on University, the part mm-hmm. on – you know, the part on Campbell. It's going to be a big deal, a big construction deal for the next couple of years. It's just going to be – they're trying to get the pain in individual parts of town – resolved as quickly as possible so they can move on to the next pain. But again, any big construction project, that's going to happen.
As we have been hearing on the network news here on KVOI about the Navy jet in Virginia crashing into an apartment complex, and Jimmy and Sarah, anytime we're talking about jet traffic, military traffic over residential areas, people get a little nervous.
They definitely do because, you know, the fact that we've got a big naval station here.
Air Force.
Sorry. Thank you.
We're not for Baja, Arizona.
I'm sorry. I had Navy on the mind because that was the –
I think you need to go over to Hanford, California, in the Central Valley, or San Diego perhaps.
Yes. I had the Navy on the mind because that was the jet that crashed in Virginia. But anytime planes flying over cities becomes an issue, it's an issue here in Tucson because of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And there are still some people around who remember the last horrific crash that happened near the university about 30 years
70s,
ago. Yeah. And so this is going to be a big deal because they're talking about bringing more planes, louder planes here to Davis-Monthan. And mark my words, this crash will have local ramifications.
I agree with that. It's a reminder that for the most part, everything goes smoothly, but you only need something to go wrong once, and it can be a huge tragedy, and it's going to be on people's minds.
Because people start asking then that question, could it happen here? And as you say, Jimmy, and Sarah, with all this talk about the F-35 coming, and this is kind of a crucial time.
This is decision time for that F-35.
Yeah,
this is going to give the opponents a lot of ammunition that's going to be harder for the folks who make some very good points about the economic benefit that Davis-Monthan brings in and the economic benefit the F-35 could bring in. That, you know, it's a quality of life issue with the noise issue. And, you know, all it takes is for one thing, like you said, to go wrong and bad things can happen and the community is going to have have a serious conversation and look at this.
Sarah, let's shift to politics. Ron Barber, this is not a surprise, really. We knew he'd be the top fundraiser. First of all, he does not have any competition. The Democrats have coalesced around Ron Barber and the special CD Ed campaign. But I think it is significant. The money that he's raised looks like we're talking about $550,000 through the end of March.
Yes, that is a considerable sum of money for any candidate, especially in an uncontested primary race. Of course, he is also now running in what will be the CD2 race for the November general election. But it's interesting, I thought, that Dave Sitton was the person on the Republican end of things.
$260,000, Mr. Sitton.
Right, who a lot of that came from Jim Click, which is not a surprise. And then we have Jesse Kelly received $210,000, and a lot of that came from business associates, from his family business, family members, things like that. And then Martha McSally with $133,000, but the details weren't out the last time I looked on the FEC website. And then Frank Antonori, as of when I last looked before heading over, hadn't submitted his forms yet. So we don't know how much he has raised.
And the buzz about Frank Antonori is that his numbers won't necessarily be pretty because he was counting on some business support that went to Dave Sitton. I actually didn't find a lot of surprises in these. I mean, if not that I'm that bright, but if you know I could have gotten out my crystal ball, I would have predicted not necessarily these numbers, but you know we know Ron Barber had a lot of crossover support from the business community, from a lot of Republicans. Of course, you know, having Gabrielle Giffords behind you, probably the most popular politician in America, that's not going to hurt. We knew Dave Sitton was going to have a lot of business support. I'm actually surprised that Martha McSally managed to raise so much money she did, given that she was completely unknown outside of military circles in this community a couple months ago. So there wasn't a lot of surprise in these numbers. It just goes to show how much money is going into a politics. We're talking about almost $1 million right here that's been raised in a relatively short time period in an election we didn't even know was going to be happening at the start of the year.
And I think this puts Ron Barber now in a very good position. He doesn't need to spend really any money, certainly in the primary, and he can hold that money over, certainly for the general, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And can that money then be carried over, do you know, for the regularly scheduled election in November?
I believe so, okay. Because I know that, you know, that candidates can carry over money from past campaigns into next campaigns, and I imagine that's going to be the case here. The interesting thing that I think in looking ahead to CD2, which is kind of a silly thing to do given that we haven't even had the primaries in CD8 yet, is if Ron Barber is going to be going unopposed in the CD2 race. Everyone except for Matt Hines, poor delusional Matt Hines, has stayed in or has gotten out, I'm sorry, And I think that it would be wise for Matt to not stay in the race and get beaten badly by Ron Barber. But it's going to be an interesting couple months, and there's going to be a lot of money flowing around for both these congressional races back-to-back. And, of course, the CD1 and the CD3 races are going to be going on as well.
The Patterson story.
Oh, boy.
Well, maybe – is there a way we can summarize it and then spend about 1 minute on it and then move on? Summarize it perhaps saying that Representative Patterson, is it safe to say or next week there will be some resolution perhaps?
Well, let's hope so. I read the report that I think it's 32, 33 pages from the ethics investigation that the law firm did into the ethics complaint at the legislature. And I felt sorry for their thesaurus because it was how many words can you come up with for, you know, was found to be intimidating and angry. And it just the adjectives runneth over in that report.
Yeah, and especially when you have to keep your language clean, especially.
Right.
That was a challenge.
And Representative Patterson says he has apologized for his behavior, and he's still denying the allegations. But does it look like next week something's going to be
I can't see him surviving past Tuesday unless the Republicans get overly political and decide to keep him around just to kind of goad the Democrats. But I can't imagine even in this somewhat toxic legislature at times in terms of the politicism that he's going to last beyond Tuesday.
Yeah.
I just can't see it.
And they've curtailed his – where he can go in the Capitol. He can basically come in, vote, and then leave. And so it's – the problem is that, of course, the constituents in his district are the ones who ultimately are hurting here. The Star has said he needs to resign, and we still stand by that.
As has the Weekly. And I am actually one of his constituents. And I also think I was talking to Bill off the air before the show started about my editor's note this week in the Tucson Weekly, in which I think that a lot of local Republicans too, but a lot of local Democrats, including the county chair, Jeff Rogers, who in the past had been a very staunch defender of Daniel Patterson, they have some explaining to do, because this stuff has apparently been going on for a while. And there's one thing about having a conflict with another legislator. There's, you know, incidences here or there, but he's developed such a pattern going back to 09, I believe, in the report, mm-hmm. that I think as a LD29 constituent, I should have known about this beforehand. And we knew there were some problems. You know, we report them on them in the Weekly. But I think they have some explaining to do. Why did it take this incident with Georgette Escobar, and why did it take this report for a lot of this stuff to come out now?
Well, we'll ask Jeff Rogers, who the Pima County Democratic Chair is scheduled to be with us next Friday here on the Buckmaster Show. This thing with Mr. Hicks, Michael Hicks.
Oh, boy.
And, and his national a TV appearance. I looked at that. It was about a 5-minute report on the Daily. I didn't watch I don't watch the Daily Show, but I did watch the 5-minute segment, and it was really Sarah Garrett Gasson. It was embarrassing.
Oh, it was beyond embarrassing.
What in the world?
I mean, first of all, don't go on the Daily Show. Everyone knows everyone should know. The Daily Show is not a winning proposition. And like we said in the editorial, if they invite you to come on, it's basically to make fun of you, and you're going to end up looking like a big buffoon, which in this case, Mr. Hicks did.
And they got into slavery.
Oh, God, it was just so awful. And I mean, on one hand, you wonder, I think if national news was coming to talk to me, I would mention it to someone like, hey, guess what? I'm going to be on TV and The Daily Show. And someone would have said, hey, Mike, don't do that. But he got into he demonstrated he didn't quite understand the history of slavery. He didn't understand MAS, the Mexican-American Studies Program. His defense is that he didn't realize it was a satirical program, and that they talked to him for 3 hours.
With a laugh track and everything.
And edited it down. But I looked at it, and they did not splice, from what I could tell, you know, him saying dumb things into the segment.
What,
he did
mean,
this on
you mean
his own.
Rosa Clark isn't a civil rights figure that you look up to there, Sarah?
Well,
you know, I will give Michael Hicks, I'm sure that they picked the juiciest stuff out, and that's the only defense he has. But it's indefensible for an elected official not to know, A, what The Daily Show is, and B, to not only say some of the things he said, but I mean, he's had some, you know, as he's been viciously attacked, and I understand him wanting to defend himself on, you know, with Mexican-American studies supporters and stuff like that. I mean, even before this, some of the rants that he's put out on Facebook and via email, where every other word almost was misspelled, and that's not much of an mm-hmm. exaggeration. He's not coming off well here, and he's embarrassing himself. And yes, I'm sure The Daily Show was out. I know The Daily Show was out to have – it's a comedy satirical show, for crying out loud. But that is no defense. You should have known this. And I think that the number of supporters he probably has are dwindling rapidly, if there are any left.
It's one more – I mean – Arizona is the gift that keeps on giving to The Daily Show. I have to say, they must have like a map
could do
of
a weekly
Arizona.
Segment,
we had
they?
Randy Graff, I think, with the guns in bars a few years ago.
Goodness.
We are a rich source of comedy.
I can't wait until they come here to do the Daniel Patterson story.
Oh no! Oh.
And as you say, Sarah, in the editorial, Hicks embarrassed himself, Tucson, and pretty much all of Arizona with his performance.
Yeah, it's when, you know, I have friends who were on Facebook, you know, who live in New York City, who were like, oh my God, watch The Daily Show. Is that real? And you have to say, sadly, yes.
And quickly, we've got about a minute or so to go. The Arizona Republic reporting the FBI was investigating State Attorney General Tom Horn in January, at least a month before an employee in the AG's office alleged campaign violations by the state's top prosecutor. Whether this is going to have legs, Who knows?
And that's, I'm very curious to see what the investigation shows, because I'm definitely not a Tom Horn fan. But this did come from an employee where there are is some possibility where there are sour grapes here. So I'm going to give.
Yeah, the employee was to be.
He worked in the Tucson office, and apparently there was some disciplinary. There weren't getting along well. And Tom Horn's claim is that he made these claims to kind of protect himself with the whistleblower law. I'm going to give Tom Horn the benefit of the doubt on this, which is something I don't like to do with Tom Horn. But if these accusations are out there, there are some definite violations here, but I think we need to let the investigation play out and see what comes of it.
And I also think the flip side of that is we should not dismiss any allegations or complaints simply because an employee may have had a disciplinary issue. I think people are way too quick to say, oh, well, he just has an axe to grind and it
Absolutely.
Means nothing. We need the investigation to play out.
No shortage of material here on the Friday Roundtable, certainly this week. And usually that's the case every week. 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah, have a wonderful Easter holiday. Same to you, Jimmy.
Thanks,
Thank
Bill.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks a lot. We'll be back now with Weekend Watch.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. And of course, that music always heralds our weekend watch with the man we have dubbed the Tucson Culinary Cruiser, Matt Russell, who joins us today from San Diego. That must have been quite a sight, Matt, seeing you go through security at TIA in the bunny suit. I know you wanted to be, in the season and all, but that Velcro look, goodness. With the rabbit ears and the special feet.
Oh, I was happy to leave the bunny suit on the beach yesterday, Bill, for next year. I've set it aside for now.
How's it going over in San Diego?
Beautiful day out here, Bill. I'm actually about to enjoy lunch at the Stone Brewing Company up in Escondido. Beer Advocate magazine calls the Stone Brewing Company the finest brew pub on the planet. So we're about 2 minutes away from putting that claim to the test.
Yeah, and while you're there, why not some grilled fish would go very fresh fish with that, which sounds really delightful.
Nice fresh squeeze of lime, I can't wait.
Happy hour pick of the week this week.
Yeah, tonight I'm going to encourage all of your listeners to go check out Jack's Kitchen on the northeast corner of Oracle and Ina. Bill, I had one of the best cocktails I've ever had in all of Southern Arizona recently at Jack's. It's a pineapple-infused silver tequila with muddled pineapple, fresh lime juice, and get this, a simple syrup made with piri-piri peppers, which are obscure little peppers from Portugal. This sweet and slightly spicy cocktail I think is going to pair beautifully with their duck confit street tacos with a roasted green chili cream. Both of those are on special tonight at Jack's starting at 4 o'clock. Bill, if I were in Tucson today, I would be at Jack's tonight.
You're saying it's really about the best cocktail that you have ever had in Tucson.
Yeah, and I've had my fair share. As you and your listeners know, this definitely sits at the top of the list.
What's going on at Maynard's?
You know, the newest Tucson restaurant to join the growing brunch scene over the weekend is Maynard's downtown and the old Train Depot on Toole. They're calling this new brunch menu authentic, hip, and slightly unexpected, and by that they mean red velvet pancakes with a smoked maple syrup, or how about a smoked pork shank with creamy white cheddar grits and sunny-side eggs. Bill, you can wash all of that down with a selection of sparkling beverages with any one of a number of fresh mixers all lined up for you. Maynard's Market and Kitchen downtown is my Easter brunch pick for this Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of people do want to do Easter brunch, and we have some great locations, don't we?
Indeed, we do. I mean, I think some of the finest in the western United States, and I love seeing more and more restaurants sort of catch the brunch buzz with the Abbey opening up with a new brunch on Sundays. 47 Scott has got a new weekend brunch, and happy to see what Maynard's is doing starting this weekend.
And, of course, Arizona Inn.
Yeah, a timeless classic, Bill, as you and your listeners surely know. For Easter dinner, that's my pick for this Sunday night, the historic Arizona Inn, of course, near Camlin Elm. They're going to be featuring a four-course Easter dinner, including an appetizer, a soup or a salad, a gorgeous entree, and a dessert from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. This includes champagne or a sparkling cider for only $55 a person. Now, Bill, I ask you, with the 14 acres of gardens and fountains and flowers and lawns, is there a more beautiful setting for a holiday meal than the Arizona Inn?
No, I think the Arizona Inn certainly is the quintessential place to go for your brunch or special occasion dining spot. How are you doing right now? Getting ready? Are you almost at your destination for that fish and beer?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I could smell the yeast as I was parking my car. Where else do you smell yeast than in a great classic craft brew pub? I'm about 2 minutes away from diving in head first, Bill, and starting my weekend in full force.
Matt, we had the city manager, Richard Miranda, talking about Congress Street. It's going to be a mess starting Tuesday, and we hope it doesn't impact the downtown scene. I think people can still work their way around it, getting to their favorite dining spot.
Absolutely. Downtown is open for business, and please, all of your listeners, take advantage of all the great food and beverage opportunities that are awaiting you right now.
All right, Matt, have a wonderful holiday and a great Easter.
To you too, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. The Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show is made possible in part by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. The Buckmaster Show is also made possible in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe Easter and Passover weekend. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday. Have a good one.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.